All right, well, good evening. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We're going to read some verses here, and then we're going to turn to 2 Peter. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Turn over to 2 Peter. That would be after 1 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. The Bible says, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that we could be here this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this portion of scripture. And we thank you for this time that we have to hear it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear your word and meditate upon what you have for them for us tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen me and be with me and just help me to preach your word as you would have it preached, and just give me power to do so tonight. And let us have ears to hear and hearts to listen. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach a little bit about mountaintop experiences. Amen? Mountaintop experiences. Who's been to the top of a mountain before? Pike's Peak is one, right? It's beautiful up there, isn't it? You can't breathe, but it's beautiful. Okay? I mean, I don't like heights, believe me. You get past a certain point, I ain't having too much fun. But it's beautiful up there. I've been to the Eagle's Nest and down in Birch's Garden in Germany, which was Hitler's, you know, Southern Command. He only went there like twice, right? But it's beautiful up there, right? The ride up is horrendous, but it's beautiful up there. They take you on this bus, and then you have to pull over, right, into this little cove while another bus comes by. It's right there. I mean, it's horrible. I just don't like heights. But you see, when you get to the top of a mountain and you look out at everything, it's just unbelievably beautiful. 9 times out of 10, I guess. But, you know, I guess there's some mountains that probably put in the wrong place. And you're like, yeah, whatever. But we see here, Peter affirms that his message is built on facts. Here in 2 Peter, he tells everyone exactly what he saw on that mountaintop that day. Verbatim. He repeats what God said. Amen? Says, where is it? It says, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He declares he has not followed cunningly devised fables. His declaration of the gospel was on a firm foundation. He wasn't following something that wasn't true. He was following the truth. Amen? This was not a fable. This was not a story that was made up. This is a true account of what happened. And that solidified it in Peter's heart that day. Whoa. What we have been taught by Jesus and what we are going to do is absolutely 100% true. I mean, how much better of a mountaintop experience could you get? Hearing from God himself. Amen? And you think, well, Brother Mike, God doesn't speak to me. Are you reading his word? You can have a mountaintop experience every single day if you just open up the Bible. Amen? Amen? If it wasn't so early in the morning, I could actually remember what I read this morning. But I know it helped, okay? I'm just saying. I get up like at 4:30 in the morning. That's pretty early, but I know it was in Exodus, so at least I have the right book, right? We are in Exodus? Okay. So, see? No, I'm joking. But listen, all you have to do to get a mountaintop experience to hear from God is open up his word and then pray to him. Sometimes you're like, but he's just so silent. Maybe you're talking too much. I don't know. How about just saying, Lord, speak to me. I need to hear from you today. He will. Sometimes it's not what you want to hear. But it's best you heed it. Amen. The transfiguration was proof of Peter's preaching. Amen. The mountaintop experience vindicated the mission of Christ. He witnessed Jesus' divinity outshine his humanity. Isn't that amazing? Every time I read that portion of Scripture, I try to imagine what it looked like. And I still don't think I give it any kind of justice. Amen? But Peter, James, and John, they were standing there when it happened. Amen? Peter did not follow some false teaching. He didn't listen to heretics or false teachers, as many do today. He followed Jesus and was rewarded by being in the presence of God and hearing directly from him how much he was pleased with Jesus. The voice from heaven silenced the voices of critics on earth, and it will still do it today. Amen. There are critics out there everywhere you go. Amen? They want to tell you that Jesus was just a man. He was no better than Muhammad. Some of them even say he was the devil's brother. Right? They want to say, well, how do you know the Bible is true? There's so many. Yeah. But God only wrote one. Amen? And see, and that's the thing, is when you open it up, and I can tell you this, you can pick any verse you want and you can lead someone to the Lord with it. I firmly believe that. Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Bible, right? Jesus wept for you. He wept because he knew what he was going to do when he went to the cross so that you could be saved. Do you want to be saved today? I'm telling you. I'm still working on her, Dennis. Still working on her. But you see, the Bible will silence critics today. You open it up. You share a verse, you share a portion of Scripture that directly contradicts what they're trying to tell you, they have nothing to say. They either get mad or they run away. But if they really want to hear what thus saith the Lord, they'll stop and they'll listen. Amen? The world preaches that Jesus was here to change the world. I remember watching a commercial on one of those movies that they made about, you know, Christ and his, and one of the disciples is like, what are we going to do? And Jesus says, we're going to change the world. Is that what he came to do? I will tell you, he changed it for sure. But that's not what he came to do. He was here to show that love conquers all. But the truth dispels all that. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. He came to seek and save that which was lost. I remember when I was lost. Matthew 5:17 says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You see, he did not come to change the world. He did not come to everybody would just have a kumbaya moment and love each other. He came and fulfilled the law, amen? And he came to seek and save that which was lost. Yeah. Turn over to Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Who's that? You and me. Amen? Until the 3rd of March 2009, I was as lost could be. And on that day, he said, uh-uh. He said, Mike, this is your last chance. You either listen or that is it. I knew for certain that I didn't have another chance coming. You know, I know Pastor talks about when he got saved, he was mad. I cried. I cried because I realized exactly what I was. A sinner. An unworthy sinner on my way to hell. And I realized that that person had touched so many lives in a negative way and probably led them further from the Lord. All that in a moment, and I just could not help it. The shame I felt. Amen. And then when I stopped crying and I looked up, it was like the Lord said, but you're saved now. And everything just lifted right off my shoulders. It was amazing. Then I got happy. Amen? If you are trusting in anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then my friend, you fall into the lost category. If you are saved tonight, maybe you're wondering, when is the last time you had a mountaintop experience? And how can we get on more mountaintop experiences? Maybe that's you tonight. Well, I will tell you this. You want a mountaintop experience? You must follow Jesus. Peter, James, and John did not walk up there and wait for Jesus. He said, hey, you three, let's go. They followed him. They didn't know what was going to happen at the top of that mountain. They didn't realize that they were going to see the transfiguration. They didn't know that Moses was going to be there and Elias was going to be there. They didn't know that in the midst of it all, that God was just going to talk right to them. God said a simple phrase, but it was probably, you three better listen up. Amen. Peter, James, and John followed Jesus up that mountain. He took them up on a high mountain. These three had come to faith in Jesus long before this experience. They left their work and they followed him. And they followed him right up that mountain. Faith begins the Christian life, but discipleship follows. Listen, if you're saved and that's all you are, you're missing out on a whole lot. You're not following as you should. Amen? Is it easy some days? No, it's not. Believe me, I have my setbacks too. Amen? More than I care to admit. But I always wake up the next day going, Lord, help me to do better today. Help me to start over. You know what he'll do? Dust you off, strengthen your knees, strengthen your ankles, and then he'll be like, hey, step here. Step here. Step here. You know what happens? We're going on his step. He says, step here, step here, step here. And then we're like, oh, look over here. And then we're not stepping where he wants us to. You know what happens? We trip, we fall, we get hurt. Amen? Is that following Jesus? No. Not at all. Romans 10:17 says, well, let's just turn there. Romans, I never want to get this one wrong. It's one of my favorite verses, and every time I go at it, I mess it up. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you got saved, you heard. Right? Your faith gave you the ability to hear because you heard the word of God. Right? Isn't that good? Sometimes following means separating from others. That's tough. I've had to separate from some people. And some people have separated from me because they don't want to hear. And I'm okay with that. It's their decision. But I've had to make decisions in my life to separate from certain people because it doesn't jive with what I believe. Amen? Doesn't jive with my Christian walk, my ability to do for the Lord. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, we are to come out from among them. This world has nothing to offer us of any good. Amen? All this world wants to do is take, 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 take and take. Because Satan is a taker. He has given us nothing. But God gives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. He gave us salvation. He gave us his word. Who in your life prevents you from following him? Following Christ is being willing to surrender to him. Following Jesus leads to higher ground. Isn't that good? The Lord led them up on a high mountain, and great things awaited them on that mountaintop. Are you willing to follow Jesus all the way? So we see we must follow Jesus. And second, we must keep our eyes open. Remember one time as a kid, I was riding my bike, right? And I thought, I could do this with my eyes closed. Till I hit the truck. What's even funnier about it is when I hit the truck, my tire went up underneath the bumper, and literally I went, and I was literally stuck under the truck, fully upright. I was like, and then I was like, the bike's not coming. I had to wrench it out, and I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to do that anymore. I guess I can't ride with my eyes closed. You keep your eyes closed, you're going to miss a lot. Amen? Hey, I'm all for blinders with this world, okay? But don't have blinders in your eyes shut. Amen? Peter became an eyewitness of the majesty of Christ. He would never forget this miraculous moment. He claimed this experience as proof of his authority to minister. Amen? It proved that he had the authority to preach what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Think about this. What if he had his eyes closed when it happened? What happened? James and John are like, I don't know, we were asleep. Right? Peter never forgot what he saw. It was forefront in his mind. Christ was transfigured before him. The Lord was clothed in light, and this was an unforgettable experience to Peter. Moses and Elijah also appeared and talked with Jesus. Peter was so moved that he wanted to start a building program. Isn't that good? He's like, man, woo! I'm going to build an altar for you, Lord. I'm going to build an altar for Moses. I'm going to build an altar for Elias. And God said, hush your mouth. Listen. It's about one man. The man, Christ Jesus. Amen? This was not God's will. But sometimes we want to do something for the Lord, even though it's a misguided endeavor, don't we? I hear it all the time, how churches have this program or that program. I'm not going to go into the whole programs again, but there are many churches out there that have programs to just bring people in. And then when they bring them in, they never tell them about Jesus. Oh, they mention him from time to time. They gloss around the truth, make you feel good for a moment. Well, I believe God only gave us one program, and that is to witness to all creatures. Turn to Mark chapter 16. I'll get there eventually. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What's the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Listen. If I see y'all out there and you're witnessing to a dog or a cat or a horse or something like that, that's not what he's talking about when he says every creature. Amen? He's talking about those unsaved people. Amen? Don't get it twisted. Listen. If you believe, you are saved. Baptism does not save you, so don't let that confuse you either. Amen? I thought I got called to preach so I could take a church. Remember that, babe? Boy, was I misguided. Be a pastor. Like, well, pastor. Right? The more I watch and hear and listen, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Maybe one day, but not right now. And that's okay. Yet here I am 10 years later, and I have to say that I have not felt compelled to take a church or start one. I haven't. People have asked me, what do you think? You know what? I am going to follow the Lord until He says, until He leads me to a church or a ministry that He wants me to do. But until then, He wants me right here. I have no issues with it whatsoever. Every now and again, I think about it, but soon the Holy Spirit seems to take it from me. I love being here and serving alongside my fellow saints. I enjoy serving our pastor, putting up lights when he said we were done with any more building stuff. Amen. I like it.
Every same day.
I do, right? It was like, all right, we're done with building. Hey, so I bought new lights. Can you put them up? I'm like, really? And finally, we must listen to the Lord. Turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 30 and 31. Verse 30 and 31 says, "And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." What did Jesus, Moses, and Elijah talk about on that mountain? You know, before I did this study, I didn't even think about that. I didn't give it much thought at all. But they discussed the coming death of Christ on the cross. Look what it says. Who appeared in glory and spake of his, who's his, who's that we're talking about? Jesus. His what? Decease. Which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They were talking about the coming crucifixion of Christ. You imagine that? Here's Moses, right? Led God's people out of Egypt all the way to the brink of the promised land. Was not allowed to go in. But then again, who better to be standing next to when you die but God? I mean, come on. That's awesome. And then Elijah. How'd Elijah go up? Fiery chariot, right? Here they're standing on this mountaintop, and Jesus with them. He's having a conversation. It's not like, hey, Moses, what's up, man? Long time no see. Hey, Elijah, man, you're looking great. What you gonna do tonight? No, it was. And probably it was a help to Jesus, too. But you think about it, Moses all those years ago bringing them out to the promised land. Elijah, all his preaching about the coming Savior, amen? And here it all comes to fruition right here on this mountaintop, and they're discussing what's about to happen. Focusing on the cross brings us to mountaintop experiences. As Joe so eloquently tried to hit me in the head as he pointed at the cross. Amen? When I was a kid in the church I grew up in, the cross was a scary thing. Because it wasn't a cross, it was a crucifix. Jesus was still on that cross. Amen? I don't know about you, but my Bible says that Nicodemus and Joseph took him down off that cross, buried him in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose. Amen? I don't know what Bible some people got, but mine don't say that. You want a mountaintop experience? You need to focus on the cross. You need to focus on the cross where you went and ask God to save you. Amen? You need to focus on the cross because that's where you got saved. Amen? Before you got saved, cross probably meant nothing to you. But I will tell you this, it should mean everything. Think about it. Jesus carried it. He carried our punishment. He was nailed to it, hands and feet. He was horribly marred. You couldn't even tell he was a man. He suffered on that cross, and he was subjected to darkness when God the Father turned away and would not look upon him as he bore all our sin. Yet he was well pleased. Are you kidding me? Our sin put him on that cross. And he bore our sin. And yet God the Father was well pleased with him. The cross means nothing to you. You need to rethink some things. How lonely it must have felt. How lonely it was for him to be there as that happened. I've been alone at times. Sometimes it can be pretty rough. But when God the Father has turned from you, it's not a good place to be, I will tell you that. How rejected, how so betrayed by his own people. Yet he did it willingly, knowing all this. He didn't go up there blind. He didn't go up there not knowing what was about to happen. He knew from the beginning. Amen. He knew when he said, when God the Father said, who will go? And he said, I will. He knew all this. Yet what did the Father say on the Mount of Transfiguration? He said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. We must be sensitive to what God says to us about his Son. And there's a lot in this book to be said about Jesus. Amen? There is a lot to be said. It starts in Genesis 1:1 and ends at the end of Revelation. Amen? It is all about him. It's not about anybody else. In the beginning, God did what? He created. Who was given authority to create? Jesus was. Amen? If you don't think he was there in verse 1, again, you might be reading a different Bible than me. Listen, what mountaintop experiences do you remember in your life? Was it the day you got saved? Amen. Amen. Maybe if you've been led someone to the Lord, was that a mountaintop experience? Amen. Amen. Maybe it was when you realized a prayer had been answered. Isn't that good? God just doesn't sit up there and pick and choose which prayers he's going to answer. Amen? He doesn't go, nah, not that one. He hears every single prayer that you offer up. And when he answers it, amen, it's either yes or no, or not right now. If it's a not right now, keep praying. Keep praying. Maybe you're not ready for the yes, even though it's what you want. Or maybe you're not ready for the no. Amen? But be ready. Return to those sacred heights and serve your Lord again. All right, that's all for tonight. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank